Lord God of hosts, Almighty Lord, your faithfulness is all around you. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray it. Amen. Please be seated and take out your Book of Common Prayer. Please take out your Book of Common Prayer and turn to page 50, page 50. Well, I know that this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the culmination of a very brief but very important season of preparation. We've heard again and again the words of the forerunner, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And as Father has told us, and I've tried to say as well, our preparation continues on and on with each new day as we try to prepare in our hearts for the coming of the Lord of Lords. But you know, there's been some things going on that in some ways can become quite a distraction to us. And for some, depending on which elevator you may have been in, or Walmart or wherever it was, we've been blasted with these wonderful Christmas songs. And I'll tell you point blank, I love them. I mean, I really do. Some of them are more faithful and more important to me than others. And I can't help but think about, you know, O Holy Night and some of these others, you know. Mary, Did You Know, that haunting, rather recent addition to the whole thing. And who could ever forget the Chipmunks in 1958? The Christmas song, you know? Alvin! Right? Right out of our youth or childhood, perhaps. Or maybe you've just been cursed having just to hear it again and again and again. But I'll tell you the truth, folks. My favorite Christmas song of all times, I didn't discover it, unfortunately, until actually seminary. It was in seminary where I was finally introduced to the fullness of this Christmas song. And it's in our prayer book in a couple of forms, but like many other things in my life, I prefer the traditional. And on page 50 in our Book of Common Prayer, Canticle number 3, it's simply known as Magnificat. Magnificat. You know, Mary proclaims, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, if you don't understand, magnify here, quite frankly, means to exalt, to give praise to just be overwhelmed even in the spirit, so that, you know, we have, those of us who do such things, raise our hands to God and rejoice over what's going on right now. But when we stop and we think about Mary, it's rather hard for us, if we're being rational at the moment, to think that she could be magnifying God in any shape or form, much less rejoicing over the world that she lives in, her personal world. I mean, let's face it, her fiancé, Joseph, he was talking about getting a divorce, because that's what you had to do in those days when you became engaged to someone. You didn't just break it off and say, keep the ring or take it back or whatever the deal was. You literally had to go and get a divorce, a formal divorce. And he having found out that she was pregnant in the most unbelievable way, was going to divorce her. Think about her family. The shame that she, as generations of other families have experienced, finding out their daughter, their young teenage daughter, was pregnant. And so they probably were beginning even then to make plans to send her off to a relative, like it's happened over and over again through the centuries. And she ends up going to Elizabeth's. The community that she lived in, what was their response? According to the law, she needed to be taken out to the outskirts of town and be stoned to death for being immoral. I don't know how her situation could have gotten more desperate. And yet, this ordinary young teenage girl, no resume, no specials about her in any way other than God had visited her and she knew it. She cries out, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Where are you at? What's going on? What's going on with you right now? Maybe your situation, not pregnancies, guys especially, okay? We can't do that. Maybe pregnancy is not our issue, but I mean, you cannot listen to 15 minutes of the evening news without knowing what a mess our world's in. I mean, what happened back in October in Jerusalem, in Israel? What continues to happen throughout the Middle East at this time? It should set every one of us our teeth on edge. The things that are going on throughout our country, I mean, I think about Chicago, which I claim more or less as a hometown. This weekend, there'll be, I don't know, 35, 45 shootings with about 15 or 20 deaths from gunfire. And that's repeated again and again in city after city all across this country. And maybe it's nothing that quite that desperate with you. Maybe it's just this economic downturn that our country is facing. And maybe you're in the situation where right now, You just do not have the capacity, the economic capacity to give or bring to those whom you especially love what is in their expectations. I heard yesterday we were talking about our event at the grade school this Friday. And how last year this little girl said to one of our folks how she had sent a letter to Santa, but she didn't get her bicycle, and how the heart broke and wanted to respond. We all have these expectations that are presented to us, and we find ourselves, especially in times like this, unable to meet them. Or maybe it's illness or an accident that is robbing us of our ability, our age, that's robbing us of the ability to do the things that we want to do. I mean, for me, putting my socks on every morning is an event. That's a fact, a real fact in life. Or maybe it's just our heart being broken. How do we say, "Magnify the Lord and rejoice in God my Savior"? with all of this stuff going on. I mean, everywhere we turn, that it's the world that we're living in. How are we going to do this thing, you know? Well, I think the answer is to be found in this Advent Christmas song, this Magnificat. It is to be found in the words that Mary proclaimed, that she sang before her cousin. The answers to our own quandaries. The very first thing, of course, is Mary believed God fully. You realize that for generations, for centuries, through the mouth of God's prophets, the children of Israel had been promised what? Messiah, Savior. Generation after generation after generation after generation, and Messiah had not come. It appeared that God had forgotten his people, that maybe he was going to welch on his promise. And yet, inside of Mary's womb at that moment, growing, was Messiah. And she, responding to the angel, Gabriel, "Let it be unto me." Because she was believing God's promise. You know, in the Old Testament, there are over 8,000 promises that God made. Over 8,000. And to my knowledge, Father, correct me on this, please, there wasn't one that was ever broken. Correct? That's what they taught us in school. I believe them. And since the coming of the New Testament, there's an additional 1,100 plus promises that God has made to us. And again, correct me, not one of them has ever been broken. Mary believed. Mary trusted. She took God at his word without fail and determined that she was going to live out her life accordingly, no matter what. No matter about the so-called scandal or the threat against her life or her fiancé divorcing her or whatever it was. She believed God to fulfill his promises to his people. And that's us, church. That's every one of us. Secondly, she had a Savior growing in her womb because God had said it, and she believed it. But she also believed that this was not just her personal Savior, which he was, but not just that. And she also understood this was not just Israel's personal Savior, but through him, he was going to become the Savior of the world for all of humanity. Personal and all-encompassing of all of the people throughout all the ages. Jesus, Savior, Messiah. She believed. And she celebrated that fact. And finally, and importantly, she knew that God was paying attention to her. Oh, golly. "For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Have you ever considered the fact that there's not a person in this room or anywhere on the face of this world that he does not know personally, intimately? And he regards each and every one of us with his absolute love. That's the whole purpose of this child Jesus. He was demonstrating the fullness of that love and care and concern for each and every one of us without exclusion. Without exclusion. Hear that, church. No one is exempted from this love. It's an all-encompassing love. No matter who we vote for or whatever it is else in our life. And Mary knew this, and she believed it, and she celebrated it. And for her, it became the fullness of God's revelation, not only to her, but to the whole world. Here again, he hath filled the hungry with good things, the rich he has sent empty away. Why? Because they're too stupid to accept what was being given to them. Let's not be rich. Remembering his mercy, hath holpen his servant Israel, as he promised his forefathers Abraham and his seed forever. And yes, that includes each and every one of us and everyone throughout all generations. God sees us, knows us, loves us, cares for us. And what does he ask for? One thing, faith. As Mary was called to be faithful, to accept God's gift, he now turns to each and every one of us. As we prepare for the great Christmas season to sing all of those songs and all of those great hymns and carols, faith, faithfulness in our belief and in our action, in the way that we love one another, the way that we love him who has promised us life eternal. Life eternal. If only we would put our trust in him as Mary did. Unto God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen. Now let us affirm our faith in these words from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit.